Now back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's gonna be forever.
I'd love to know what smart people talk about all day. I mean, no offense to you guys.
Wow.
Like, no, like Rocky.
Right out of the break.
Like, Rocky was smart.
What the hell?
But during the break, there was some reference to mayonnaise. Then you guys argue about whether
okay, now,
mayonnaise.
Hold on. You made the reference to
correct,
mayonnaise.
Correct.
Don't like make it seem unbelievable, like we're the idiots bringing up the topic.
Correct. It was a joke about the toothpaste is out of the, you know, the blah, blah. So then instead of, yeah, mayonnaise is terrible. Rocky's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What about Chipotle mayonnaise? And I just don't picture doctors on their rounds and then taking a, or a professor.
Disagree.
In between classes.
Dr. Like, Rick, he loves to kind of talk.
Yeah, I'm with Charlie on this one.
You think they're talking?
Kind of back alley talk.
Should I text Dr. Rick?
They're people like us, Martin. They're people like us.
Stars are just like us.
Let me text them.
I just feel like there's just smarter people out there.
I mean,
well, no, yes. You guys.
You don't,
think,
said that
you don't
for
think they're spending
years.
15 minutes talking about which Halloween candy is the best? Because personally, what? If you're not having that discussion at work, are you an American?
So, random question. What do you and your doctor cohorts discuss while, like, what? What do you discuss at work that's not doctor related?
I like how you're using the word cohort.
Strick has texted.
Smarter.
Let's go. Let's
real quick.
Go.
Real quick before Strick.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news. Because when we bring up a topic, we should have some information. So, breaking news from September 26th of 2012. This article, written by Mark Saxon, who at the time was with ESPN, now, of course, here locally with The Athletic, Eric Gagne alleged in his biography that 80% of his Los Angeles Dodgers teammates were using performance-enhancing drugs, and Gagne said he used human growth hormone over five cycles in a three-year period toward the end of his career.
Well, it didn't work. It wasn't very good.
So he did admit to
it. He admitted that he cheated, but not when he was good. Sort of convenient. Hey, let's get to it. Strick, Fox Sports Midwest. Also the host of Hockey Sense every Friday at 4 o'clock. Normally in studio on a Wednesday, but he's ringside today with your Blues update. Strick, how are you?
Oh, I couldn't be better and couldn't agree more either. Mayonnaise is terrible. And,
thank you.
Eric Gagne, by the way, a Canadian closer. You don't see too many of those.
How about that?
More Canadian comedians than Canadian closers.
That's fair.
True story. What's the buzz at the rink there, Strick? Tough ending the other night in Winnipeg.
Yeah, you got to find ways to close these games out. You know, the Blues have had leads in 4 of 8 games in the third period, and I don't think they've won any of them. So that obviously needs to be corrected and something that they're going to want to correct, and they're going to have to correct at some point in time. You know, it's interesting. You know, a lot of belief following this road trip is the team is playing better hockey, and they certainly look like it against Toronto, definitely in the first two periods against Winnipeg. And the knock on the Blues coming into the season would be, or was, are they fast enough? Can they play at a high enough pace to keep up with some of the better teams in the NHL? And I think so far they've passed that test. They don't look slow at all to me. You know, certain players are faster than others, but for the most part they've got experienced players who, you know, play such a smart game that, you know, they put pucks in good areas, they've got good puck support, and, you know, just based on that alone, it can make you look quicker. So, you know, coming back at home, you know, you've got 7 consecutive games here on home ice. You got to take advantage of that, and obviously there's pressure on this team because of the high expectations to start winning at home, and the first test comes tomorrow night.
Strick, how about some roster updates? Yesterday, Sammy Blais sent down to San Antonio, and then we learned today Robbie Fabbri also assigned to San Antonio for a conditioning assignment. So how long do you think until you see Fabbri in the blue note, and what do you think we can expect from him this season?
Well, they say there's no timetable, but I will say this. I mean, there is a plan that's been in place for Robbie Fabbri going back to training camp. And this was already decided several days ago that he'd be going to San Antonio for a conditioning assignment. It makes sense. I mean, he hasn't played hockey in, you know, over a year and a half. So, you know, to go play some games down there at the pro level, albeit the American Hockey League level, still it's good hockey, just to get an opportunity to get his feet wet and get the timing back. So could he be back in time for the next home game after Saturday, which isn't until the following Thursday? I believe Vegas is in town. I mean, could you potentially circle that game as a Robbie Fabry return? Obviously, we won't know until several days from now. I believe San Antonio plays tonight, and I also believe that Doug Armstrong is jumping on a plane. Either he's on a plane now or he's on the way to the airport to head to San Antonio to watch that game. So you'll see him back before too long. Oscar Sundquist has also been taken off of IR, so he's eligible to play tomorrow night, and I would assume that he'll be in the lineup when the Blues take on Columbus. But the good news is for Robbie Fabry, he's back playing competitive hockey, and it looks like he's knocking at the door, and it's only a matter of time before we see him back in the National Hockey League.
Andy Strickland, ringside. What about Robert Thomas? We've seen him a healthy scratch. Part of it is, I guess, they can manipulate the 9 games trial period. What do you think is likely going to happen with him?
You know, and he could be back tomorrow, too. We'll wait and see how it plays out. You know, Mike Yeo said this morning he wouldn't commit to his fourth line. So I know there's a lot of suspense in terms of who's going to be in the lineup tomorrow night and who won't be. You know, it is what it is for Robert Thomas. You know, he's kind of being put in a tough spot. He's getting a great opportunity to play in the National Hockey League, but he's also been given an opportunity to play on a fourth line, a situation he's not accustomed to playing. And, you know, he's not getting a whole lot of ice time, so you just got to be able to make that adjustment and make the best out of whatever opportunity you're getting. You know, there's a difference between being a center and a winger in the case of Thomas versus a guy like Jordan Kyrou and some of the opportunities that Kyrou's been giving, you know, simply because he plays on the wing. It gives the coaching staff more options in terms of who they can play with. But when you look at the Blues' top three centermen, you know, with O'Reilly and Shen and Bozak, there really isn't that opportunity right now for a guy like Thomas to slide in and play his natural position in a scoring role, you know, with some established NHL players, you know, albeit, you know, he's playing with some decent players in the fourth line with Barbashev and Sammy Blais, who is here, but that's different than, you know, playing with some of these established guys they have at the top end of their roster. So, you know, Robert Thomas's time, you know, will come. The interesting part is the Blues have to make a decision as to whether or not they want him to stay here the entire year or if they'll send him back to Hamilton and play in the Ontario Hockey League. You know, I'd be a little bit surprised if they send him back, just knowing you know, once you send him back, you can't get him back. And if you have injuries to one of your top three centers, do you feel like you have enough on the roster right now to plug somebody in if you needed somebody in there, whether it be short-term or long-term? So he gives you that security. He also has eligibility to go play in the World Junior Championships if they want him to do that around Christmas time. So just having him here, even if he's not in the lineup, to me, is probably more beneficial than having him play junior hockey in the OHL, where he's already completed 3 full seasons. But that's something we're going to have to monitor and pay close attention to and see how this plays out.
Strick, along those lines, Mike Yeo says today Robert Bortuzzo getting a second opinion on his lower body injury. Does that kind of take care of, at least for the short term, this Jay Bouwmeester situation? I'm kind of wondering, moving forward, if everybody's healthy, what do you think happens there? Could we see Jay Bo being a healthy scratch every once in a while?
Well, listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, regardless of how he's playing. I mean, even if Jay Bouwmeester is playing well, and we all know thus far this season he hasn't played well. So it's an easy decision. This is not a difficult decision. I don't care if you played 1,000 games or 10 games. If you don't play good hockey, then you shouldn't play. But the fact that he's 35 years of age, I mean, it's just the reality of the situation. I mean, he's not going to be as good at 35 as he was at 29 or 30. So that is what it is. I mean, I don't think we need to make any excuses or feel sorry for Jay Bouwmeester or anything like that because if he doesn't play every game, you know. But even if he's playing well, when you consider how much hockey he's played over the years, and the fact that he had, you know, one of the longest consecutive game streaks in the history of the National Hockey League, where he played close to 600 consecutive games or 800 consecutive games, you know, it may be good for Jay Bouwmeester to have a night off here and there, even if he's playing good hockey. When you also factor in he's coming off of a pretty significant hip surgery. But, yeah, because of injury right now, I mean, it's going to open up a spot for him. You wonder if a guy like Jake Walman, who had a really, really good, you know, strong showing in training camp, you know, when will he get a look on the left side, who can also play the power play? When will he get a look in the National Hockey League level? I would think at some point this season, you know, we're going to see Jake Walman here, and he's going to play NHL games. You've got 3 guys on the roster, I believe, who are expected to be unrestricted free agents on the back end following this season, with Gunnarsson and Bortuzzo and Bouwmeester. So at some point in time, you got to get this guy up here and give him some experience and let him play and at least get a strong evaluation of how he can help you down the line and into the future. But, you know, Carl Gunnarsson will likely take a conditioning stint in San Antonio as well. I mean, he's not too far off. He says he'll be back sometime in the month of November, most likely probably towards the middle of November as opposed to the early portion. But with the injury right now, you're going to see Jay Bomeister in there. And I don't have a problem if he's playing. But, guys, I'm a firm believer that it's all about the roles you have. It's not about whether you play or you don't play. It's about what role do you have when you're in the lineup. And at this stage of Jay Bomeister's career, he doesn't need to be a top four D-man. And I don't know if you can rely on him or if you have to rely on him every game to be on the ice to protect the lead. And maybe you could start showing some of that trust to some of your younger guys, you know, like a Vince Dunn. You know, can you trust him defensively to be able to close the game out? But Jay Bomeister is fine if he's a third pair, if he's slotted properly, and he doesn't have to play 20-plus minutes every game. So it's all about how you use him to me.
I think that's great analysis because the other night he played somewhat out of necessity. The bigger critique was when he was playing, when he was on the ice in terms of late in the game, overtime, things like that. I think it's spot on by Andy Strickland, who is our hockey insider, Chuck. And I was just thinking, you and I should go to San Antonio for a little conditioning trip. That's what everyone's going for, conditioning.
I'm in.
I'm all for it.
Hey, lay off the barbecue.
Strick, how does the team view the 7-game homestand? It's a weird deal where they're not going on the road for 3 weeks. Obviously, they're going to pay for it later in terms of road games. I'm guessing it's some quirk because of later in the year with scheduling at the building. But do they really like chewing up this many home games at once in a row?
Probably not, you know. I mean, at some point in time now, you're going to have to make these games up on the road, you know, later in the season. I mean, it all depends on how you're playing at home. I mean, for whatever reason, this team is playing better hockey away from the Enterprise Center than they are here in St. Louis. So, you know, if you win the games, and obviously you're excited and you're happy to be here on home ice. I mean, this is an area the Blues have got to be better at. You go back to last season, they were not a great road or home team last year. And you can look at the power play and also their home record as the reason as to why they didn't make the playoffs. But you got to win your home games, and you got to be a tough team to play against at home. And for years, I mean, you guys go back to the Checker Dome, the Arena, the Kiel Center. I'm trying to remember all the names, the Scott Tracer, all these different names. The Blues were always a very, very good team at home. And for whatever reason, that's gotten away from them over the course of the last, you know, second half of last year and into this season, where they haven't been as consistent on home ice. They got to find their game at home, and this is a good opportunity. I mean, obviously, you've got Columbus coming in. I don't think Columbus is as strong as a lot of other people make them out to be. They're coming off a loss against Arizona. And you got to play a good game against Chicago. You've let a couple of games slip away against the Blackhawks. You got to find a way to beat them, especially at the Enterprise Center here in St. Louis, and start to win some of these games within the division. All the teams in the division right now are winning games, and they're getting points. And the last thing that can happen for the Blues is to fall too far behind, even if it's early in the year, and you can say, hey, you still have 65, 75 games, whatever it is at the stage of the season. You can only come from behind so much in terms of making up ground when you're playing against all these other teams that are very, very talented in the Central Division. That's not easy to do. You got to start winning some of these games and start winning consistently, and it starts, obviously, with a 7-game homestand.
Andy, keep your stick on the ice. Keep your head up.
Head up, stick on the ice. Hey, we take Ryan O'Reilly into film session. We had Pat Maroon in film session. He came into film session today. You'll see that tomorrow on the Blues live pregame show prior to the Blues and the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then we take him to hockey school. Actually, he's taking us to hockey school. We're going on the ice with Ryan O'Reilly. You're not going to want to miss that coming up in an upcoming game as well on Fox Sports Midwest.
Is JD back in town? Will Yarmo be here?
Yarmo should be here. JD had a pretty significant back surgery where he had
Buzz.
a number of fusions, a couple of rods, and like several screws put into his back. I mean, this sounds painful as hell just talking about it. So I knew he was going to be out for quite some time. I don't know if he's back with the team. And if he is back with the team, I don't know if he's traveling with the team. But you'll see Yarmo Kekalainen. He'll be here at the Enterprise Center tomorrow. Always looking forward to catching up with him. He's one of my favorites, as you know.
As we know. He's probably on the staff. All right, Strick, we'll see you on TV tomorrow, and then we'll hear you on the Slop Friday, as well as Hockey Sense Friday at 4 o'clock. Andy Strickland checking in with us, Fox Sports Midwest, part of the hockey team that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
5-9 The Fan, which includes the Cam Jansen Show weeknights at 6 o'clock.
We have Yarmo Kekalainen here in studio, don't we?
Oh, that's right.
We have him here.
Forgot to tell Strick that. Cutting grass.
Hey, I don't think Chuck is paying a lick of attention.
He's
right
not.
Now.
No, Charlie I'm wondering Marlo, when Yarmo's coming in studio.
I was joking that you're
Strickland Yarmo. Always says that we cut his grass.
Chuck, by the way, sent a fantasy football message during the last segment. I got a kick out of that.
First of all, that was not for public.
No,
that's true, and I'm fine with that.
No, it was during last segment.
No.
I think Martin was in the middle of a point. I get an email. Charlie just posted
a
message.
It wasn't a good point,
SDL
to be honest with you.
It's
fair. To be fair, I drafted my response to the Fantasy Football League message board before the show. I hadn't sent it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I was paying attention, as always, to everything said on the show because it's a great sports show.
Thanks, buddy. You're allowed to have 10 bad minutes. So
correct.
We've got 10 still
today
to go.
We're kind of pushing it.
Hey, during that 7-game homestand for the Blues, if you're not going to the game, great spot to watch it is Fast Eddie's in Alton, Illinois. You can hunker down, get yourself a seat, watching the game, but also enjoying the fabulous food that Fast Eddie's has been known for years. They haven't raised the prices in years. Half-pound fat Eddie burger, only a couple of bucks. Peel and eat shrimp. Think about that. Checking out 3 periods of hockey. Go back, get yourself the Elwood. Hot chick on a stick, homemade bratwurst, great food menu at Fast Eddie's, coldest beer anywhere, outdoor patio. They got the heaters on. It's a lot of fun this time of year. Stop by and see them. Doors open at 1 o'clock for lunch. They go until 1 a.m. tonight. Blues fans, check them out in Alton, Illinois. It's Fast Eddie's Bon Air.
The end of the day.
Okay, when's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, even though there's moments where you're like, I don't want to do this.
That was really seamless. I was impressed by that. Just a quick point, and Rock was right on it.
We're a well-oiled machine. Hoff's
really
all
are.
About behind the curtain today.
Yeah.
Is this because the Facebook Live is down
and
you're telling everybody what's going
on
here?
When Hoff gets that producer bug, there's a segment coming, people. Yeah. Watch out.
Can I mention, because you brought up Facebook Live?
Yes.
At Fox 2, shameless plug, we do this thing at 4 o'clock. We call it the news before the news, where we do, let's say, 5, 6, 7 minutes. Could be sports, could be newsy. Just about what's going on that particular day. And I'm trying to find our Facebook Live from yesterday. Myself, John Brown, a lot of cameos. It had something like 12,000 views. A lot
Look
of people watch
this.
These. Check it out. Fox 2 Now Facebook page.
Look at you. Whenever I hear Eric Gregg, I don't have any sound or video. Obviously, it's radio. But the 97 NLCS that Levon Hernandez strikes on. If anyone on a laptop or when you get to a computer next gets a chance, just go to YouTube and type in Eric Gregg, Levon Hernandez. You will see the worst strike zone you will ever see.
Brian Hoffman, they showed video of that on MLB Network a couple weeks back. It might have been the anniversary of the game, whatever it was. They showed video, and I'm telling you, Eric Gregg on a curveball would give you 1 foot.
The catcher is moving out of the zone.
I'm
physically moving.
Charles Johnson of the Marlins, he was catching balls that, and I'm not joking when I say, were a foot off the plate. And he was getting strike calls, Levon Hernandez.
Ball lands in the dugout.
Bring
him up!
Levon on that day, game 5 against Atlanta. 9 innings pitched. 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 15 strikeouts. This was just a little over 20 years ago. Levon was a young pitcher at the time, trying to get an age real quick in 1997. Levon was 22 years old. In this game, he threw 143 pitches.
John Smoltz would approve. I love it.
Jimmy Leland was not shy on that day.
He was just smoking cigarettes. Like, just
yes,
let him pitch.
He was.
Because he also knew that Levon was actually 32, and it was fine.
Whoa. Wow. Jim Leland, by the way, spikes on, banging heaters in the dugout. You got to love that guy. From Perrysburg, Ohio. Very close to
Cradle.
Toledo. Next topic.
I feel like we've done this, but I'm going to do it now. Career earnings, Levon Hernandez. Have we done
this? I love this guy.
Batman in pajamas.
Okay, so Levon
Pitched
Hernandez.
Everywhere.
Didn't he finish with the Nationals? Had a nice little run?
Right,
everywhere.
With Atlanta. He did pitch for Washington late. Last team was Atlanta.
How about years in the bigs? 15-ish?
Total years for Levon Hernandez. Parts of 17 seasons in the majors.
And his first year was what year?
96.
So 96 to about?
His last year was 2012.
2012.
It's 110 million.
I'm going to say less than that. I'm going to say 85 million.
This really surprised me. 53. Oh. He never really had a big contract. The most he ever made in a year was 8 million. He did that twice, but he never signed that 5-year, $90 million deal that usually does amplify career earnings quite a bit.
Because of that one start in the World Series. Like, I don't know. This guy might break down. He had that one game where he threw 143 pitches.
This was brought to my attention by a Twitter user listening to the show. I think he's fairly popular on the medium. 2x07. Chuck, I think he might have included you in a tweet at one point or in time.
Okay.
We were discussing George Grand last hour. Grand can be heard, and he was heard this past September, calling the AAA National Championship.
Can I compete against the big boys from the big cities? And you need that experience to build a foundation to be a big leaguer.
Ref Snyder hits one hard down to second. 4-6. Yes, sirree, 3, and that'll do it. The celebration is on for the Memphis Redbirds.
There you go.
Sounded pretty excited
about it. Still calls the occasional Reds game. Yes, and Jim Cott, not frequently on the Reds broadcast, but does call for NBC Sports Network, the AAA champion, National Championship game.
Brian Hoffman, are we able to play that clip again? Sure. And I only ask because when you first played that, the first guy speaking, which is Jim Cott, sounded like Jesse the Body Ventura.
One second.
Can we hear it again?
Yes.
Can I compete against the big boys from the big cities? And you need that experience to build a foundation to be
this
a big
country.
Leader.
You have to. Yeah.
Ref Snyder hits one hard down to second. 4-6. Yes, sirree, 3, and that'll do it. The celebration is on for the Memphis Redbirds. It's been a long and winding road, not just this year.
It's a great voice.
It is a good voice.
Folksy. Warm.
What kind of accent is that, do you think? Because it's not
for Jim Cott or George Grand?
For George Grand.
Slightly Southern,
okay,
but not entirely. I'll
so maybe like maybe like Southern Ohio, Northern Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kind of had a little Ernie Harwell folksiness, which I really appreciate.
Okay, I do not mean this to be political at all.
Yes, you do, but go ahead.
No. But the topic is a serious topic. It's discussed on the news throughout, and it's a Fox News clip. Lou Dobbs had a moment last night.
Migrant caravan?
The caravan of mostly Central American immigrants is now in the Mexican city of Huatulca tonight, where it has...
What? What's the actual city?
The caravan of mostly Central American immigrants is now in the Mexican city of Huatulca tonight, where it has...
It's not like he had a stroke.
What's the city?
I don't know.
It happens.
I looked up because it sounds like you said.
Hold on.
It sounds like it starts with a W.
Hold on.
I did a quick Google search. I couldn't find a city in Mexico that begins with a W. So I seriously have no idea what city he's referring to. And I'd like to know what happened. Did the producer
get goosed during
the producer typed the script up, like hit the wrong key or something, and kind of threw him for a loop?
It's spelled phonetically, accidentally with A-H-A-H-H-H-H-H. He's like, blah.
Let's be honest, though.
Yes.
We all do this, especially on TV sometimes. You'll have to read a name, and you say it on air, even if you put it in the prompter phonetically. The second you see that in the prompter, you have zero confidence as you're saying that person's name. And you almost kind of chuckle because you know it's not close to the person's actual pronunciation.
George Grand went to USC.
Where's he from, though?
It doesn't say, but he went to USC. Played baseball.
How about that?
Won a state or a national championship.
Huatulca.
Kind of sounds like he's singing.
Yes. Like a lullaby.
Can somebody please look? If somebody's listening,
hey,
like
out of your liberal slant over there, right. At 590. Where's Larry and the Guns? What time's that coming?
Can somebody out there who's really good at audio? Can they take that clip and turn it into like one of those? What do you call them? Auto tune remixes?
Yeah. Can I request one thing though? Which
okay.
Is they also find a way to incorporate the Kawhi Leonard laugh
okay.
As well as that, and
that's
combine
fair.
That somehow. Then I'm good.
I'm doing a search.
Walter Hughes. He's in town on Friday. The legendary.
Are you going to meet him in person?
He's International Hall of Fame.
Huatulca.
That's what I should have done.
Did he just keep going? Did he just keep going?
Yeah, because, I mean, it was a quick Twitter clip of about 10 seconds long.
Is now in the Mexican city of Huatulca.
Okay, and
tonight where it has.
So he does keep. In Lou's credit, he doesn't stop and consider what he just did. He does the right thing and just kept moving on through the rest of the story.
To be fair, though, sometimes you're talking, you get a little frog in your throat, you know, and you hiccup a little bit. Maybe that could be the case.
All the reports from USA Today, CNN, CBS are reporting a city that I, right now, looking at, have no idea how to pronounce.
All right.
Huitla.
Fair enough. That's the end of the day. Say Watanejo.
What?
Shawshank.
No, there are cities in Mexico with the X that it's hard to pronounce. You don't know how to say it, right? There you go. Boom.
It's a Wednesday in October. That means Pietro's is raising money for Our Little Haven. So if you're looking for a place, late lunch, early dinner, it's the great specials that are going on. Throwback pricing, $5.95. That's all you're going to pay for your meal at Pietro's on Watson in South City. They've been helping out the folks at Our Little Haven for years. First of all, we appreciate them supporting a great organization. But if you get a chance tonight, going out to dinner, stop by Pietro's on Watson. Again, raising money every Wednesday in October. We got two to go tonight and next Wednesday, which is Halloween. Thanks to Pietro's for doing this. More information about Our Little Haven, which is taking care of the kids behind. Neglected and abused kids taken care of at Our Little Haven for many years. When they celebrated the 20th anniversary, a great piece in People magazine talking about the first kids that were there and what they're doing now with their lives. It's a great story, and it continues because great folks helping out. Read about it at ourlittlehaven.org. Coming up next, it's The Hardline right here on 590 The Fan.